So let's open our Bibles this morning into the Old Testament, into the book of Proverbs. We're going to begin a series in the book of Proverbs on Sunday mornings. This is a series that's been sort of hanging on the back burners of my mind for many years. A series that I've wanted to do for a while, to take us through Proverbs. I've had to sort of think about how I want to go through this book. It's a challenging book to deliver. If you know anything about Proverbs, you know that it doesn't have much of an outline to it. And you know that it's packed full of all kinds of different information, which would make it hard to go through verse by verse. In fact, it would be very laborious and very tedious and would probably take us 15 years or so to get through the book. So we're not going to go through Proverbs in a lot of in-depth detail. I want to go through it thematically, topically. We want to take themes from this great book, pick different proverbs from it that fit under each theme, and learn all we can about very important principles of wisdom that we can apply to daily life in a practical way. This is an important book. I pray that it will be a profitable study and that will bear lots of fruit in our lives in many different ways. So would you join with me in prayer as we embark? Lord, I thank you that you are a God who knows all things. You know the high and lofty things. You know all about philosophy. You know all about the weightier issues of life. But Lord, you also know about practical things that we face daily. And I'm so glad, Lord, that you want us to succeed daily. That you want us to live good lives. And that you've given us great information, great insight into how to live our lives in such a way that brings maximum glory to you and keeps us safe and truly satisfied. So I pray that you would bless this time as we study your word. Give us wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Richard J. Needham says that there are basically seven ages in the life of a man or woman. The first age he calls the age of spills. You're the baby, you're the toddler, you're spilling. The second age he calls the age of drills. Then comes the age of thrills. The next is the age of bills. How many of that age seems to last a long time, doesn't it? Then comes the age of ills. Then the age of pills. And finally, it includes with the age of wills. That makes life sound awfully short, doesn't it? It actually makes life seem a little bit depressing to think about it that way. Dr. Leslie Weatherhood makes an interesting comparison in his book called Time for God. He translates an life expectancy of 70 years to the hours of a single day from 7 in the morning to 11 at night. And so by his mathematical calculations, if you are 15 years of age, then the time on the clock for you is 10:25 in the morning. If you're 20, it's 11:34 in the morning. If you're 30 years of age, it's 1:51 in the afternoon. If you're 40, it's 4:08 p.m. for you. At 55, it's 7:34 p.m. At 65, it's 9:51 p.m. Where are you on that clock? What an interesting way to think of life. Makes it seem so short, doesn't it? The truth is, life is short. In comparison to eternity, all of us has one short life to live. And I think it's very important that we make the most of the life that we've been given. Amen? You have one shot at life. Don't blow it. Don't squander it away. And I personally believe that we should live large, big, successful, satisfying lives, don't you? We should live to maximum potential. And listen, the key to doing that, my friends, is wisdom. We have to live life wisely. We need to wise up. We need to become wise and wiser still. And out of wisdom will come a successful life. The book of Proverbs is an incredible resource to us as Christians. This book is the book of wisdom. It is a practical handbook on living life wisely. And my prayer is as we go through it, we would wise up. And we would really begin to make the most of this life, living according to the wisdom contained in this book. I just want to sort of introduce Proverbs to you this morning, and I want you to see, man, what this great book has to offer us. Look at chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel." Most of the material from this book comes to us from Solomon, a son of David. He was the third king of Israel. And what you need to understand here, folks, is that Solomon is considered to be one of the wisest men who has ever lived in all of history. In fact, he could be called the wisest man who has ever lived in all time, on all places on planet Earth. Of course, not including Jesus. Amen? This was a wise man, and this material comes from him. Most of us probably remember Solomon's story. Solomon became king of Israel somewhere between the ages of 16 and 18 years old. Can you imagine a teenager being given that kind of responsibility? King of an empire. David died. Solomon became king. And the responsibilities that he had must have been overwhelming. He must have just been so nervous about how to lead this huge empire that God had raised up under David. Well, you remember the story. One night, God came to Solomon in a dream and said, "Solomon, ask whatever you wish, whatever you want, it'll be given." Now, can you imagine how some typical teenagers might respond to that today? Think of what Solomon could have asked for. Riches. All this glory. But you know what? Solomon didn't ask for that. He was so burdened by his task as the king, so overwhelmed with all the responsibilities, he said, "God, give me wisdom. Give me discernment. I need to know how to manage people. I need to know how to effectively lead this great empire that you've given to me." And of course, God answered that prayer by saying, "Behold, I have done according to your words," in 1 Kings chapter 3. "See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you." So God gave Solomon wisdom like to none other. He also threw in riches and honor, since Solomon asked for wisdom, if you remember. And of course, you know the career of Solomon. He was wise. It was amazing. He was famous for his wisdom. If you look about over the facts of Solomon's life, you find out that he was a musician and a poet. He wrote 3,000 proverbs. We only have a few hundred of them in this book. He wrote 1,005 songs. He was a botanist, a zoologist, a businessman, an administrator, a king, a builder, an architect. He's the one who built the temple, the glorious first temple for the Lord. And people from all over the world heard of Solomon's wisdom, and they would come to check it out for themselves. It says in 1 Kings chapter 4, "And men of all nations, from the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom, came to hear the wisdom of Solomon." Chapter 10 in 1 Kings tells us that Queen Sheba had heard of Solomon's wisdom and came to check it out for herself and found it to be true. She asked him the toughest question she could think of, and he answered them appropriately. Everything was ordered in Solomon's kingdom. Everything was a well-oiled machine. Everything was proper. You looked at every area of Solomon's life and his kingdom, and you saw wisdom. You saw goodness. We're going to get advice from that guy. Imagine if you could sit down with the wisest person who's ever lived and ask them questions about any subject in life. We get that by studying Proverbs. And of course, we know that the real author of Proverbs is who? God Himself. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. As I said, Solomon wrote 3,000 Proverbs. Only a few hundred of them made this book, this inspired book. So I see it, God, the Holy Spirit, collecting all of this wisdom into one book. 4 us. Here's how you live. That's Proverbs. Boy, we got some great information. Look at the purpose that this book was written. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction. To perceive the words of understanding. To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. To give prudence to the simple. To the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. Obviously, the whole purpose of this book is to give wisdom. Think about it. This book was designed by God to give wisdom to His people of every generation. The best wisdom. Notice with me the different faces of wisdom that are expressed in this passage. Look at a few words with me. First, the word wisdom itself in verse 2. To know wisdom. Wisdom is the Hebrew word chokmah. It's a very general word. It's a very open-ended word. It's used hundreds of times in the Old Testament. But I think it has a very specific meaning to when it comes to the way it's used in the book of Proverbs. And most Hebrew scholars believe that as well. I think the word basically means skill. Skill. Sometimes in the Old Testament, that's how you see it translated. Translated as a craftsman. A professional. Somebody who has skill at a craft or a trade. In fact, If you remember a little bit of Old Testament history, when the nation of Israel came out of Egypt and Moses met with God on Mount Sinai, God gave Moses the Ten Commandments and the laws, and part of the law that God gave to the nation of Israel through Moses was, you need to build this tabernacle, this tent, this structure. And there were specific servants chosen by God, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to make those materials, to make that craftsmanship. And it says in verse 35 of Exodus chapter 35, concerning those people, he filled them with skill to do all manner of work. That's the same word, wisdom, skill. Have you ever watched somebody doing the pottery? Or somebody painting, or somebody, you know, doing this craft, this trade, and the way they use their hands, and it's so skillful, everything is ordered. And my friends, the idea here is, this book will teach you how to live life skillfully. It will give every one of us a skillful mastery of life. Great skill implied. Also in verse 2, you have the word instruction, to know wisdom and instruction. If you look up this word in a Hebrew dictionary, you'll find that it basically is used to speak of a parent training up children. Or teachers, tutors, training up students. And there's two ideas in it. The idea of training, giving information, but also disciplining kids. Goading them on in the way to live a good life. And that's what you get in Proverbs. Training from people wiser than you on how to live life in an everyday fashion. And discipline. Oh, my lens. We need discipline, don't we, as people? All of us have passions and appetites. And man, it's so easy to go astray following the desires of your flesh or your own life. Proverbs teaches you how to discipline yourself. How to master yourself. You can't master life unless you master yourself. And so you get all that as you study Proverbs. At the end of verse 2, you have the word understanding. To perceive the words of understanding. This basically means discernment. This is what this book gives you. It gives you the ability to discern, to discriminate, to make the right choices, the right decisions in life. So, as you read this book, you begin to learn how to identify, this is foolish, this is wise. Throw out the foolish, embrace the wise. This is righteous, this is wicked. Throw out what's wicked, take the righteous. And then I love this, you see this throughout the book of Proverbs. This is important, this is unimportant. Throw out the unimportant and take what's important. You will maximize the way you live your life if you know what's important. And you work for what's important, and it will prioritize your life. So discernment, understanding. You look at verse 3 as a whole. To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. Wisdom's a different Hebrew word there in verse 3. Then from verse 2, it means wise behavior. And this verse really speaks about wise behavior among other people. To be just with other people. To be equitable with other people. To be wise with other people. Listen, a study of this book will dramatically revolutionize the relationships that you will have with other people. In your business, in your family, in the community, in the neighborhood. And I'm telling you what, man, one of the ways to have a successful life is to know how to get along with other people. And you get solid, solid information from Proverbs concerning that. One of my favorite words is in verse 4, prudence. Prudence, I like that word. A study of Proverbs will make you prudent. You know, it's a word that actually means shrewd, cunning, crafty, even. In fact, most of the times this word is used in the Bible, it's used in a negative sense. It's used of Satan, the serpent. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Now the serpent was more prudent or cunning than any other beast of the field." In Joshua chapter 9, it speaks of the Gibeons who are deceiving Joshua and his group. And it says, they worked craftily. They were tricky. This book will make you like that, but in a good way. Very shrewd, skillful, clever, sensible, prudent with people. It's what Jesus spoke of in Matthew chapter 10 when he said, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless of doves as doves." So, if you read the book of Proverbs, you will get wisdom that will keep you out of traps, that will help you to understand what people might be trying to do to you or how to influence you. And that's very important. I like that. To be given that kind of prudence, that kind of skill. The word knowledge is used in verse 4. Facts. To give the young man knowledge. This is simply to make a young man fully informed. And again, this word is used in connection with people who are studying for a trade. Becoming a craftsman or something. You know, when I went to engineering school for 5 years, I studied electrical engineering. And I studied all this information, and I gathered all that information up about that. And if you go to school and you become an accountant, you get all that information about that. And, you know, it helps you be a good professional workman or workwoman out there in the community. You gather that information. The idea here in Proverbs is you are given all the facts you need to know concerning life. Every aspect of life. Every corner of life. You become fully informed. Discretion. Verse 4. That basic idea means a wisdom that enables you to plan. To have foresight. To prepare for things that come at you in life. Verse 4, 5, a wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. That's speaking of an advanced kind of learning. More learning that makes you effective in guiding not only your own life, but the lives of others. Steering your life in the godly way, in the right way, and having the skill to steer the lives of others who would ask advice from you. Think about all this book has to offer. Skillful mastery of life, best training for life, a disciplined life, a discerning life, wise dealings with all people, shrewdness, being fully informed, a planned out life, ability to guide your own life and others in the best possible direction. That's awesome stuff. And here's what's really cool about Proverbs. It's not just all this high, lofty language. It's not ivory tower speak. It's very specific. You encounter wisdom in this book in the very specific details of the way we live our lives daily. The topics are abundant. Proverbs speaks of relationships, family, parenting, marriage, dating, friendship. It has loads of information about money matters. Business, work, saving, giving, wealth, laziness, investing. It speaks about labor management. It speaks about time management. It speaks about government responsibilities. It speaks about social responsibilities in the community. It has much to say about speech, humility, honor, truthfulness, integrity, emotions, teachableness. There is so much here. This is what this book has to offer us. And you know, it's for anyone. You don't have to be a PhD to read Proverbs. You don't have to have a degree in seminary to read Proverbs. It is wisdom available to every single one of us right now, where we sit, no matter what background, no matter what education, no matter what economic situation, no matter what age. Three different types of people are mentioned in verse 4 and 5. To give prudence to the simple. The simple refers to the naive person, the untaught person. I think this speaks of kids, children. They haven't learned. They're gullible. They can get taken. The young man or the young woman is mentioned in verse 4. In my mind, this speaks of a teenager, maybe somebody who's graduating from high school or somebody who's in college, a young adult. Here's a young man or woman, and they're getting off to their life. They're just getting ready. They're starting out in that career. Maybe they're about to get married, and life is all ahead of them. And this book is for that person. And then it says in verse 5, a wise man or a man of understanding. This is speaking about an older person. Maybe somebody who has wisdom, has lived a long life of wisdom. But can you get enough wisdom? The book of Proverbs is for the wisest scholar. Our purpose is to become wise and wiser still. I love what one person said. They said, the terrain in the book of Proverbs is profitable to the neophytes and inexhaustible for the masters. And the wiser we get, the better we live. This is for anybody. You don't have to be listed in who's who to know what's what. And you're going to get the what's what in the book of Proverbs. Amen? So, the material comes from this incredible source. It's a book that's designed, given by God to His people to make us wise in all those ways. The other thing I love about Proverbs is the way that wisdom is dispensed in this book. It's mentioned in verse 6. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. Now, this is why the book has been called parables. Or not parables, Proverbs. Because Proverbs is what is used, that literary device is what's used to dispense the wisdom. And I love Proverbs. I love how it works. Basically, you know what a proverb is, right? It's a real short, pithy statement. It's a poetic statement. It's a real condensed sentence or two that sets forth a very powerful principle of truth to guide your life. I love it. So it's really short pieces. In fact, we get our English word proverbs from the Latin word proverba. Pro meaning instead of, verba meaning words. The idea is, instead of a whole lot of words, you get a few words to drive home an important point. It's like wisdom concentrated. It's concentrated wisdom. I love that. You know, if you got a lot of weeds to kill in your backyard, you can go up to Home Depot and you can get this big barrel of weed killer, right? take that thing home and use that. Or you can get concentrated weed killer, right? A little bottle, just a little bit, and you take that, and you just put that in a little with the water, and that's sort of what Proverbs is. It's concentrated wisdom. It's a whole lot of information condensed, pressed into wonderful, easily manageable chunks of information. In fact, I love the way one author describes the book of Proverbs. He says, there is one book of the Bible that provides wisdom in quick, bite-sized chunks. Drive-through wisdom. Microwave wisdom in quick, fast chunks. And that is the book of Proverbs. A proverb has been described as a heavenly rule for earthly living. It is when the wit of one becomes the wisdom of many. All that before us. And I don't know about you, but even as I get older, I'm becoming one who wants people to just get more to the point. Just say it. Just give me the truth. Give me the nugget. Give me the kernel of truth. That's what you get in Proverbs. You know, consider this. The Lord's Prayer contains 56 words. The Gettysburg Address, 266 words. The Ten Commandments, 297 words. The Declaration of Independence, 300 words. A recent U.S. government order setting the price of cabbage, 26,911 words. Who wants wisdom like that, huh? Proverbs, you get truth. Right there. Right there. Easily manageable chunks. As a person who has been reading the Bible daily, really, for many years, I must tell you that God has used the book of Proverbs in a marvelous way in my life. In fact, I would say that God has spoken to me more in my daily reading of the Bible out of the book of Proverbs than almost anywhere else. I mean, it's so practical. You'll be reading something in the book of Proverbs and it'll hit a practical area in your life to help you make the wise decision for that moment, for that day. Now, as I said, we can't cover all of the Proverbs in this book in detail from the pulpit. So, I want a challenge. And this is one of the reasons why I'm very excited about doing this series, because I want to challenge you. The Lord has put this on my heart. I would like you to individually study the book of Proverbs with your church as we go through it. Take time to study the book of Proverbs. Let's study it together. You find Proverbs. You find more details. We're going to be covering things very generally, but you go in and you dig. In fact, there are 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. That's like one for each day in a typical month of 31 days. And I know a lot of Christians that read through the book of Proverbs 12 times every year. One chapter of Proverbs every day during the month. You talk about getting nailed with wisdom. And getting a grasp of wisdom that God has for you. So, here's my challenge to you. Study it. Maybe you want to do that. Read a chapter every day in the book of Proverbs as we go all the way through this series. Or maybe you want to go into some more extensive study of the material yourself. I also want to challenge us as a church to promote fellowship and communication among the body here. Perhaps this would be something that some of our small groups would like to do at a kinship group or at a prayer meeting group shortly before, do a little of it before you pray. maybe at the women's ministry or the men's ministry. I know some of you have already selected different things that you want to go through, but maybe you could just take a little bit of time and cover some of the material in your group, talk about it, that we've gone over on Sunday morning. And add more to it. Just to promote that fellowship and that communication among us. And here's where I really want to challenge you. Listen, listen, listen. Oh, do this, do this, do this. Take time to have family devotions in the book of Proverbs as we go through it. I'm telling you, set aside 1 hour a week to sit down formally as a family and discuss what we went over on Sunday morning. And add to it. And fathers, lead that discussion. Get together. And especially those of you who are parents, if you have kids, and I don't care how young they are, have a formal hour, weekly devotion with your kids. You sit them down at the table and you take them through what we covered last Sunday or anything else that the Lord might lead you within the book of Proverbs. I'm telling you, my father did this with my brother and I when I was 10. And when I was 9, or my brother was 9 and I was 10. And I still remember it to this day. 1 hour every week, we went through the book of Proverbs and we just went through each verse. And my brother and I were both required to keep a little journal, to write little lessons. And my dad would draw diagrams. And you know what? You know what? Within the context of going through Proverbs as a family, my dad taught me how to budget at the age of 10. We got taught about the birds and the bees as well. Sex education from the Bible. Good, solid family relationships. Business ideas. I mean, it's all there. Speech. I challenge you to do that. I haven't forgot that. My dad invested in my life. I learned lots of things early. Do that with your kids. And one of the reasons I want you to do that is because I really do think it's effective. And I've noticed in our society that there's not a whole lot of talking going on among the family members today, is there? We're so distant. We're so busy. You know, we were in line at a ride in Florida. There was actually one line that we had to really stand in for any length of time. And I was in it with Connor and Dylan. And right in front of us, there was a father and a teenage daughter. And we were in that line for about a half an hour, 45 minutes. And they never spoke one word to each other. You could tell that they were on vacation. This was it. This was the time. And they never spoke one word. Hardly one word. You know what the teenage girl was doing? Texting. She was texting. And then I looked at the dad. Texting. Checking email. You know what? I think that's how many families operate today. Just immersed in other things, in all the technology, in all the busyness. Listen, take some time and talk to your kids as we go through Proverbs. Amen? And maybe you don't have kids. Go through the material with your wife. Well, maybe I'm not married. Go through the material with who you're dating. Maybe I'm not dating. Go through the material with some of your friends. Fellowship. Interact. What if you don't have any friends? Somebody said, no. We won't go there. Then you just need to read the book all by yourself. Maybe you'll learn how to make some friends. No. You with me? You see the challenge? You see all this book has to offer? Will you go for it? There is a topic that we're going to say much more about later in verse 7, but you got to mention it in an introduction to the book of Proverbs. Verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." If you want to talk about wisdom, if you want to learn how to live a life of wisdom, it has to start with God. It can't start with anything else. True wisdom starts with the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord doesn't mean that you're scared to death of God and you're running away from Him. It's the idea that you know there's a God, you know He's powerful, you know you're accountable to Him, so you worship Him. You respect Him. You submit yourself to Him. You have reverential awe of Him. That's where wisdom starts. That is the foundation of wisdom. To know there's a God, He's real, He's powerful. His eyes see your life. You need to respect Him. Believe in Him. All of the wisdom flows from a knowledge of God. That's where it all begins. Close with just a couple of pictures of what studying the book of Proverbs looks like. Imagine that you're a young man, a young woman, and you've been living in the country all your life. You've never got into the big cities out there. But you have a wise father who spent many, many years in the big city. Lots of experience, lots of things that this wise father of yours has seen. And one day, at a rite of passage, at a key moment, he says, "Son, let's go for a walk." And so he takes you, and you know what? You leave the country, and you walk right into the big city. And there that wise father shows you all the activities of what happens in life. Oh, there's the business applications. There's personal applications. There's moral applications. There's all this. And he takes you and he shows that all to you. And he says, "This is how you handle all of that." That's what studying the book of Proverbs is like that. Christian, you have a heavenly father who wants to do that with you. Amen? Also, there are some that believe that this whole book of Proverbs is a curriculum. A royal curriculum. That was written by King Solomon to groom men and leaders for positions of responsibility and leadership within the kingdom. So this was for the finest. To groom them in that area. Listen, we have a king, his name is Jesus. And he wants to groom each and every one of us, no matter how old we are, to occupy this life in the grandest of ways, in the best of ways, that we would be successful, that we would be satisfied, that we would be safe, that we would reach maximum potential for the reason we were created. God has that for you. Your King has that for you. Will you go on that walk with me? Let's go on that walk. Let's go through that grooming curriculum together. Let's do it on Sunday mornings, but let's also do it personally and as a family. I challenge you. Let's all wise up. Let's all go for it. Now, as we close also, you need to know that these are beautiful words, wonderful words of wisdom. But they won't mean much to you and they won't be much help to you unless God is your Father. Unless Jesus Christ is your King. Wisdom starts with the Lord. We must have a relationship with Him. And then all this wisdom and all this power, all of the resources of God can be poured out upon your life. and you can have benefit. But you have to have a right relationship with God, and the Scripture says that there's only one way to get right with God. There's only one way to become a child of God. You have to invite Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to be your Savior. You have to embrace the gospel message. The Bible says we have all been born in sin. We're all sinners. And our sin keeps us from a holy God. And the wages of sin is death and destruction. But God, in His great love, sent Jesus, His Son, to pay the price for our sin. He died on the cross for the sins of the world. He took the penalty we deserve. Jesus didn't stay dead, though. He rose again. Amen? He's alive today. The Bible says if one puts their faith in Jesus Christ, believes in Him and what He did, admits their need, by faith depends upon Jesus Christ, that person becomes born again. They become forgiven of all of their sins, and they become a child in the family of God, and you get to take a walk with the Heavenly Father and a walk with the King. You need to make that decision if you haven't, and I'm going to give you an opportunity right now. Let's bow our heads and let's close our eyes. Lord, again, I want to thank You that there's so many different areas that Your Word touches on. Oh, it's wise. It makes us wise unto salvation. Your Word teaches us the important things that we need to know about church and doctrine. Your Word tells us how things are going to play out in the future. And then Your Word also tells us specifically how to live tomorrow at work. How to improve a marriage. How to choose companions and friends wisely. But of course, Lord, all this wisdom is available for those who know You, those who have humbled themselves before You, those who have become Your children. If you're not a child of God, if you have not received Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've not asked Him to forgive you of your sins, if you haven't made that personal decision, then you are not a child of God yet. You need to receive Him into your heart this morning. You need to get right with God. Only then can life be lived wisely. I want to give some of you an opportunity to do that if you haven't. If you need to receive Christ, maybe even for the first time this morning, I'd like you to raise your hand high. Say, Terry, that's me. I'm making the decision right now. I've been holding off on it. But right now, I'm giving my life to Jesus. I'd like to do that. Raise your hand so I can see it. Make that known. God bless you. I see you right up there. The Lord bless you. Anybody else want to raise your hand? God bless you. I see you in the back. God bless you, sister. Anybody else? God bless you and you. And you. Wow. Those of you who have raised your hand, it's time to become a child of God. And He'll receive you just like you are. And simply after me, repeat this prayer in your heart. You're praying to the Lord. Just simply say, Jesus, I'm coming to You. Thank You for dying on the cross for my sins. Come into my heart. Wash away all my sins. Make me your child. I give my life to you. Cry that out in your heart. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it sincerely from your heart, the Scripture says that right now, at this moment, you become born again. All of your sins have been forgiven. You are now a daughter of in God's family. Amen? And as a child, as one who's rightly related to God, He wants to walk with you. He wants you to walk with Him. So I'm going to have us all stand now. And those of you who raised your hand, it's very important that you would come forward to my right, your left, and meet with some counselors and elders up here. Just simply say, I lifted my hand, I received Christ, and we'll give you some more information about that. I'm going to need lots of women counselors up here. So we had a lot of ladies lift their hand and receive Christ. Let's finish up with a song. Let's sing a song of praise to the Lord. You're going to sing rich or poor, God, I want you more. Rich or poor, God, I want you more. Everything in this world, be my home, all can live me by. If you raised your hand, it's very important that you come forward and share that with somebody. The Lord bless you. Let's be wise. Amen.